Attention. Attention all project managers, team leaders, and anyone else who have been handed a new project and thought to themselves, what in the Jesus take the wheel? I mean, you know, where do I begin? If you're tired of feeling overwhelmed, underprepared, and uncertain every time you're tasked with leading a new project, then you need to listen to today's episode. You mind if I share a story with you? Family, the reason why we're talking about today's episode is because of the fact of I got a call from one of my mentees, and he was explaining to me that, hey, ED, I got this new project. I'm super excited. And I was like, great. I was like, so where are you at in the process? And he was like, well, you know, I got the intake form, and now I'm just trying to connect with the stakeholders. But he said something weird happened. Like during the meeting, someone brought up like, oh, you know, I want to make sure we got the scope intact because I don't want to have any scope creep. And see, family, when you love this thing that I hope that you fall in love with, that I fell in love with, called project management, there's certain moments that you just like, you lose your cool. And this was one of those moments where I lost my cool. But before I lost my cool, I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, we started right away hammering and ironing out the scope. And I was like, oh, that's not it. That is not it. First of all, your scope cannot be solidified until you get into the planning area. You were in the initiating area, or I should say process, or I should say like, however you want to sum it up, but you were in initiating. You were not in planning. You were trying to connect with the stakeholder. I started doing almost like in Color Purple, you know, if, for those who've seen that, the original version, you know what I mean by that, but I digress. No, seriously though, family, I get irritated with this because you have people that think they're project managers or project coordinators trying to tell the actual project manager or coordinator how to lead a particular project. And they'll say something like that I used to wonder, do they do it to irritate me or to irritate the person that is leading that project? Because it works. I'm just going to tell you it works. But after talking to my mentee, I was like, listen, this is what I recommend you do. First of all, you go back and talk to everyone again and say, hey, let's call another meeting and say, hey, we are not at the point to be talking about actually solidifying or locking the scope in because we haven't got, I don't know if we have all the appropriate stakeholders in the room. And because we don't have all the appropriate stakeholders, we're talking about what the scope should be. Yes, we can look at the feasibility study. Yes, we can look at the business case that gives us that information. But right now we're literally working off our project charter that we got, which authorizes the project. So authorizes the project manager, excuse me. So today's episode is entitled, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to introduce myself. I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, but we're scratching the 8. We just work in the day. And on those points, my goal, my mission, my job today is to unpack today's episode, which is entitled, what are the first things you should do when you receive a project? Again, what are the first things you do, excuse me, when you receive a project? Now, family, there are so many pieces here. I'm going to, if you guys want me to go into deeper detail, I will. What should I say? Put in the comments further detail or more information. Yeah, I like that one. More information. Ask me for more information. I'll go deeper into this. I'm going to give you enough to set you up for success, but there's more to it than just what I'm talking about here, because right now we're working from the beginning stages. And when you're in the beginning stages, you're talking about initiating. Again, those five process groups. Let's unpack that. Initiating, planning, executing, monitoring, controlling, as well as closing. Listen, family, this is what we're going to discuss today. If you're thinking about taking the CAPM or you're in the process of getting ready to take the CAPM, you really want to lock into today's episode. If you're thinking about getting your PMP and you're studying for your PMP, you definitely want to lock into today's episode. So let's go ahead and make this work. All right, point number one, family. Review project documentation. As I talked about in the story where I shared with you with my mentee, one of the things I told him to do was to go back and look at an intake form or whatever. I don't know what they use. So I said, it's either one of these three. Some people, they call them different names, but for in the world of based off the PMBOK is normally like a business case or a feasibility study. But I've also seen people call this the project intake or the a project requester form. Basically what it works, it kind of works in two different ways. So if it's like a more of a you fill in the blank type deal, then that's more like an intake. If it's something where there's a special document like a business case that the sponsor is responsible for completing before making that submission, but they're all really the same thing. You're really just trying to extract that the output from that particular form. And reason why these are important is because it gives you a somewhat of a baseline. Did you see how I did that? A somewhat. What is a somewhat? Okay, you just making up new words. No. What I mean by that, family, is that this is not the actual plan. This is what we're looking to do. This is the particular proposal. Maybe it may be some financial aspect tied to it. Maybe it may be some, you know, we need to do it because of an external reason. Maybe we have to do it because of a compliance reason. It could be a various a reason, but at least this kind of gives you a little bit, gives you some more information that you can look over to understand. Because again, we have to understand as project managers, project coordinators, program managers, portfolio, we understand one thing about a project, which is a true project, meaning that it has a start date and an end date. It's not something that is going to continue to go on and on and on. It has a start and an end date. Period. So that means if it has a start and end date that and it's a unique, that means this is going to be different than what you may have seen before. So now let's get into point number two. Soon as I get a chance to get my hands on like the intake form or business case or feasibility study and review that and look that over, my next step is to schedule a one-on-one with the project sponsor. Why do I want to schedule a meeting with the project sponsor? The reason why I want to schedule a meeting with the project sponsors, first, I want to introduce myself as the project manager if we don't have a relationship. Second, what I want to be able to do is understand the background, or as they would say, the contextual background of what they were trying to communicate and articulate of what they were looking for in the particular project. This is huge. I don't see a lot of project managers doing that. They normally get the business case, and then they go on about their business, and they may do a charter but anyway, I digress. I'm gonna stick to where we're at. This is key because when you get a chance to really schedule a one-on-one with a project sponsor, you get to ask probing questions. Because you've already had a chance to look at the business case, feasibility study, or the intake form, whatever, that you have some type of documentation. Now you get to have an understanding of where were they trying to go with this? What are they trying to create here? And that is really key. All right, let's move into point number three. Point number three is develop the project charter. Now, I know I'm going to get some kickback on this. Sometimes you could be, well, the project charter, let's look at the definition of the project charter, first of all. The project charter truly authorizes the project manager, and it outlines the objective, scope, stakeholders, and high-level requirements. Now, one of the things I want to impose upon you is the fact that sometimes where the project manager may fill out most of the time in my career, I had to fill out the charter. However, because I did that first step where I told you I scheduled a meet, well, the second step really of scheduling a meeting with the sponsor and I actually filled it out together. I was doing all the writing or typing, whatever it was at that time. And we were working that back and forth, but you really want to get a project charter in place so you can get a high level understanding, because you're going to need to be able to articulate what the ask is from the project sponsor. And most of the time, if you have a great or exceptional project sponsor, they'll be on there with you on those calls in the beginning. So they can also help you set the tone. What does that mean? Help you? This, I wasn't even thinking about this. This reason why it helps you set the tone is because what he or she is doing is they are shifting their authority over to you in a sense, saying, hey, this is my project manager, this is my project coordinator, what the expectation is, and we start walking through the project charter to the actual team, which takes me into point number four. What you wanna be able to do is identify the key stakeholders. Look where I'm at. If you go back and start at the beginning of this video. I hope you watch this about 10 times, because this video right here is probably going to be one of the best so far of this year. I got many more in me, but this is when it's those videos that get you, or these episodes that get you just fired up. This is just one of those fired up episodes. But everything that I am talking about right now is in the initiating phase. We have not stepped into planning. We have not even talked about the different subsidiary plans. We are still in initiating. I'm talking about the charter. I'm talking about the identifying key stakeholders, the two outputs. So from the from an initiating, you're getting the project charter. From an identifying stakeholders, we're getting what is called a stakeholder register. So it's important to figure out and determine who are the key stakeholders, including, of course, your sponsor, your clients, your end user, any individuals or groups who have here is the key foundational principle that I'm going to share with you. A key vested interest in the actual project outcome. If you can remember that, that is going to really set you up for success. Let's move on to point number five. Point number five is really about identifying and engaging subject matter expert. Well, you're saying, well, ED, you just talked about stakeholders. So what's the difference between this? Again, remember what I told you with the foundation of identifying stakeholders was. The key foundation is being able to find out their vested means. Hey, as my mentor said, you got to have skin in the game. I got skin in the game on it. Like, I literally know if this project work is going to make my work life better, or is going to make the whatever the thing is better. So I have a vested interest in the actual how this works out as far as a project. So again, when you identify, engage the subject matter expert, the whole goal here of scheduling a meeting to identify these are the people who are, I call them, they're your go-to. Those are the people that know whether it's technical, whether it's business, non-technical, whether it's understanding the vendors. It could be a slew of things, but the whole purpose is they're there to give you guidance and support throughout the whole project. Let's move on to point number six. I normally didn't think about this. And the reason why I didn't think about this a lot of times is because before I was receiving, so basically what you would do normally is when you get ready to get your resources, some of them will kind of already be assigned to you. And then you have to go out and get the rest of them based off of the various meetings you're having to identify who needs to be here and who doesn't. So point number six is assessing available resources. And this is why I said it's been different, because I've noticed, and I always said, if PMI, if you ever watch or listen to one of my episodes, I ask you to add onto the iron triangle, which is scope, cost, schedule, and quality. Put resources there, because resources is that piece that is really becoming more prevalent in more projects that I've been leading. And you could have a lot of constraints because people may be pulled away, not because it's not enough resources, but because of the resource constraint of the priorities in place. So there could be priorities that it has them shifting, because you remember when you're forming a team, most of these people have other things that's going on besides your project. So evaluating, so I put this in here because I started doing it myself, which is evaluating the resource availability. And this as well as, and I should say, when I say resources, I'm just not talking about people. I'm talking about equipment. I'm verifying the budget. Any necessary asset that is actually required. Let's move on to point number seven. Review and refine project scope. Message. Remember what we were talking about earlier? We were talking about the scope creep that my mentee had shared with me, that one of the stakeholders said during the meeting. This is where what we're talking about, the review and refine of project scope. This is where you start locking in, meaning reviewing the project scope in detail and working with stakeholders to refine and clarify any ambiguity or any unclear requirements, here's an actionable step. What I would recommend is schedule a scope review meeting with key stakeholders and subject matter experts to review and validate the scope and document any changes or clarifications in the scope statement. How many times have you ever, well, and some may have it, I received a project, and by the time I start working with the subject matter experts and the key stakeholders, the scope that may have been presented, we dug deeper in there and said, hey, that scope is cool, but we need firmer details. We need to really invest more time. Because see, family, when you invest more time in understanding what the scope is, the project has a better chance of having actual success. So with that being said as well, as you're working through that, now we're in the planning section. In the planning section, this is when we start putting our whole, putting our project management plan together. And a project management plan, again, is not a project schedule. If someone ever says, hey, you got your project management plan together, and you say, is it part of, are you talking about the subsidiarity plans, or what are you speaking of? And they may tell you, oh, I'm talking about your schedule. Oh, you mean my project schedule. That is totally different from the project management plan. The project management plan consists of other plans here, and I'm gonna run them down for you. Let's see how good I am with this today. We got scope. You got your scope management plan, your schedule, your cost, these, and quality. How I remember those are part of the triple constraints, or what they call the iron triangle. So these are the ones that's easy for me to remember. Now you got the resource management plan, your communication management plan, risk management plan, which is key. That is key. Your procurement management plan, and of course your stakeholder engagement plan. These are the subsidiary plans to the project management plan, which are key. So now we're in planning. We want to start creating these artifacts as we're going along in the project. Now that I've had that, I've met with the stakeholders, I met with the SMEs. We basically had a deep dive into the scoping of things and understanding, and we actually came out with a better scope that we're actually going to move forward with. We've already reviewed the charter. Now it's time to conduct a project kickoff meeting. So basically, as we know, project kickoff meeting here is basically to set the tone of what the expectation is going to be for the actual project. When the kickoff meeting, you can invite, you know, executives, leaders outside of, what I like to do as well is I like to invite my stakeholders' direct reports to the meeting. Why I do that is because I want to shed light on how much work that we're probably about to be up against, as well as to give them an opportunity to understand what we're doing as well, and set the tone to, again, introduce myself as the project manager. What you want to do, I'm going to give you an actionable step here. When you're creating your project kickoff meeting, you want to be able to prepare an agenda for the actual kickoff meeting. You want to add some outcomes to the expected outcome of the meeting. You want to talk about in this meeting the project background, the objectives, the timeline, roles, as well as expectations. You want to talk about the scope. You want to talk about if there's any financial, if anything monetary. You want to talk about the budget. You want to be able to talk about how you plan on, what type of methodology or framework are you using? Are we going to go with a predictive or adaptive type approach? A predictive family is waterfall. Adaptive, you're looking at more of a agile type of mindset, or basically leveraging like a scrum or anything under that umbrella. And at the same time, while you're doing this, you want to encourage, you want to invite, you want to leave enough time to have open discussions and question. Why do you want to do this? You want to be able to do this so you can get other people excited about the actual project. Plus, it builds rapport. So that is definitely a good actionable step for you. Point number 9. This is where you want to start establishing. We had the kickoff meeting. We're establishing baselines. The three major baselines is scope, schedule, and cost. And reason why we want to do this is because we want to understand where we start at. Here's the easiest way to understand why you baseline. You baseline, and this is my remix version to simplify it. It's basically you baseline it because you're saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. And now when you have to make a change, now you create a whole new scope. You still go back and look and say, oh man, when the project ends, you say, man, this is where we started. This was the original scope, but this was the actual scope that we had to make a change on, is that actually worked for the project. So you definitely want to go ahead and baseline your schedule, baseline your costs, baseline your scope. Because when you do that, again, you get a chance to see where you're at, where you was, excuse me, past tense, and where you're going. And there's some other documents that I want you to be privy of in this planning process. One of them is being a scope statement. What a scope statement articulates is it's a detailed description of the actual project scope. So do you see why I was frustrated? Because I was like, you shouldn't even be talking about a scope creep if you don't even have a scope statement. You shouldn't be talking about scope creep if you haven't developed, you haven't even stepped into the planning process group yet. So focus on getting the initiated, getting people just getting familiar with the actual project. So again, let me finish up. So scope statement is a detailed description of project scope, deliverables, assumptions, as well as constraints. You also, that in that same scoping area, or I should say plan scope management, you also have in there is a work breakdown structure. So part of the process group is plan scope management, plan scope management, define scope, create WBS. Anyway, so WBS is basically a hierarchical decomposition of the total scope of the work. Then you have your schedule baseline. Your schedule baseline is a detailed project timeline and milestones. This is going to be huge because, again, like I talk about with the scheduling of a baselining your schedule as well as your cost or your scope allows to see where you were when you started, to then when you have to make any changes, you're able to go back and see, hey, it may be some information there that you may be able to unpack to understand what was actually going on. Okay. Cost baseline, very, very easy, just aggregating of the budget for the project, as well as then you have risk register. This is just a document artifact that identifies the risk and their characteristics. Then you have requirement documentation, which is basically a detailed description of the project requirements. And then you have stakeholder engagement plan, which is the strategy for basically engaging your stakeholders. So let me unpack that again. I made a mistake and I said when I was talking about plan scope. So you have plan scope. Plan scope management is within the process group of planning. Then you have collect requirements. Then you have defined scope. And then after that, you have create your WBS. Because I did that on purpose because I wanted to see. I know someone in the comment, one of the seasons PM, going to say, hey, that's not right. So I did that on purpose, family. But anyway, point number 10, foster a positive and collaborative project culture. The reason why I say this, family, if you have a very tight culture in which you're creating an environment of trust, an environment of transparency, an environment of basically having the ability to really have really pure and honest communication. What do you mean by that, ED? I've been in projects where there have been people that didn't speak up, and then they'll pull me to the side and say, hey, such and such, this and shit. And I'm like, I appreciate that, but I wish we could have done that during the call. So one of the tactics that I used went to create that culture. And sometimes it works. There's certain groups that you can bring together, and some you really have to navigate that. But you'll know, trust me, you'll know. But one of the things I do to create a more of a collaborative approach, when I'm on a call, I go around the call. If I'm in a meeting in the room and leading a meeting, I go around the room and ask people. I call their name out. Hey, John, is there any feedback, comments, thoughts that you have about kind of what we discussed today? Oh, no. Reason why I'm doing that, because you do have people that really have a lot of value to give, but then there'll be someone that is on the call that will overshadow that because they want to do all the talking. And that's not good. So you want to be able to share that. And so sometimes you might have to cut off somebody that's talking, that's over talking, because again, this is a collaborative, this is a team approach to what we're doing here. All right. Here's my bonus. I feel like I'm giving you a lot of value today, family. I hope that I am, because this is really important to me, because you're going to be in this position. If you haven't led a project and you get your first project, you're going to be nervous. And if you're not, then I guess you're immune to being nervous. But even though you're nervous, there's an opportunity there based on what we discussed today. And I want to leave it with this. Create a checklist for everything you need to start this actual project. What a checklist does for you, it gives you the opportunity so you don't feel overwhelmed, that you don't start getting all this anxiety. I used to have a checklist, but when I basically would lead a project, and also I also thought at the beginning of the project, but basically all through the project, and what I learned over time was the importance of having a checklist. And I also learned that when you have a PMO, sometimes they'll give you a checklist of saying, hey, these are all the things, the artifacts that you need to have done in the initiating. These are the meetings you should have had, and which is great. That can be useful, but the majority of time you don't get that. And sometimes you don't want that. You want to be able to create your own, put your own style up. You want to separate yourself from other project managers. You want to under promise but over deliver. You want to provide so much value to the end customer and your stakeholders that they appreciate you. Here are my three closing remarks, family. I know this was a long episode, but I don't apologize for wanting to make sure that you guys are the best, excuse me, to be exceptional in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. Point number one, schedule a one-on-one to clarify project objectives and success criteria with the sponsor. You want to be able to set this one-on-one with the sponsor as soon as you receive whether it's a business case, feasibility study, intake form, whatever document that lets you know kind of what they're looking for to do with this project. You want to connect with the sponsor right away and just to be able to pick their brain and see what they're looking for. Number two, embrace a solution focused approach, or I should say really create a mindset in which you'll be able to combine and collaborate with other team members and to push through challenges that you may be up against. My last and final point, please develop a project charter. It's just a high-level document. It can be as simple as a one-pager. And the reason why I say do this is because, again, it helps you and other team members, stakeholders, to understand from a very high level what the expectation is. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, I know it was long, but I really think the value in this video, if you go back and listen to it a couple times, it will really help you out when you're first getting ready to lead a project. And I'm probably going to do something really special for you guys. If you really guys enjoy this, if I'm looking at and I'm seeing, oh yeah, people are engaged, I might put together a checklist that you could really use. And again, every project is, of course, differently, but there are certain things that you could say, well, yeah, this definitely has to happen. All right, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I've been your boy, ED. This has been another great episode. I really enjoyed myself today, and thank you for allowing me to do this, because I'm truly passionate about this thing that they call project management. Until next time, I'm out.